If you haven't got problems, I feel bad for your son. I got 99 problems and a bitch ain't one.
And it goes a little something like this. I like immigrants. Immigrants inspire me, man. They get here, they be so happy. They look up at the buildings like, wow, it's beautiful. And we go, you like it? Good. You gonna clean the bathrooms.
I'm from Texas. I'm from a little town called Racism. Sure you heard of it. Nice little place.
During the election, there was some lady from Ohio, and she was like, I'm afraid if Barack becomes president, his blacks just gonna take over. Like, that's a weird, like, you're gonna be giving a speech. I wanna say to all of the American people that I am your motherfucking president.
I'm more afraid of the trailer park than the ghetto. I'm not afraid of some black guy with 20-inch rims and gold teeth. I'm afraid of a redneck with a gun rack and no teeth. That's what I'm afraid of.
Okay.
Here we go.
Radio.
Dude, are we?
Yes, we are. We're
radio.
On live,
what's up?
Man. We can't hear it, but we're here. Make sure if y'all have any comments or any questions about the show, make sure y'all hit us at hiphopradio@gmail.com. If y'all want to be a friend of the show, we've been getting a lot of emails lately based on last week's topic of Dustin using the N-word.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. We got plenty, man.
Ah, jeez. Who emails?
But
I'll blacklist them, man, forever. They will never work in this town in the B comedy circuit again.
Yeah, right. They'll
ever.
Never get booked at a bringer show again
ever.
In the city.
I know all the bringer producers.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you know, that was just a situation, man. I was drunk, and he called me out. I called him out. That was two guys going at each other. That had nothing to do with me just randomly bringing it out of nowhere. Oh, he was being a dick, man.
But you know what
called
they say?
Me a redneck.
You know what they say about alcohol? That's why they call it spirits, because it brings out what's in your spirit.
Like, yeah, but sometimes what's in your spirit ain't right, and I think you got to contain yourself. Like, there's, you know,
but
I'm not saying I'm not flawed. I'm flawed.
I mean?
I'm not going to say
you
I'm
must
not.
Cleanse the spirit, not contain
Dude,
the spirit.
Well, granddaddy's in the Klan. Like, come on. Like,
hey,
I mean, I think I'm doing pretty good. I said the N-word once in like 10 years. Hey, you're not on yet.
You know what I mean? I was in the Cub Scouts, motherfucker, so what?
Whatever. No. It was one time deal.
Yeah, I hear you.
Twice. I've done it twice.
Three times.
Four times. Four
fuck.
Comics. They were all acting like what?
Oh, for all real.
Right.
What do you call white comics?
What do you call what?
The white comics when they fuck up.
I don't know. Hack? I don't know.
Okay.
They don't really. It's a bad situation, man.
Yeah, I hear you, Dustin.
They're not as aggressive.
fuck
white
you,
guys. Black guys have more peacock in them. White guys don't bow up to me. It's the black guys. Like, they got a little.
What you
peacock.
You intimidated by black aggression?
Not at all. I just peacock right back. That's the problem.
Affected.
They think, yeah, I'm going to cower down. I'm like, I don't think so.
Well, no.
And like that's the situation right there. All right, they have no idea even what we're talking about. Let's don't get back into that again. Hip Hop Radio, everybody, yay! What about you see Dennis Rodman representing America in Korea for?
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Jim
Dennis
John
Rodman ain't been
whatever.
In basketball since '96 or some shit, right?
Yeah, he made like 14 bad movies, and then now he's representing America or something for. Jim Kung
North
Poo,
Korea. That North Korean dude is out of his fucking mind, man.
He is, man.
That dude is some serious shit. He want to wipe America off the map, yo.
I don't know. I don't blame him sometimes. America, we're done, dude. Seriously. We're just
on,
ridiculous
we
country.
Other shit.
Obama sucks. The whole country sucks. Everybody sucks. Nobody can change it. There's never going to be a good president. It just sucks. It's awful. We should all move to Sweden or something. All right, let's bring in our guest on that note. It does suck, though. I used to be pro-American. Now I'm like, whatever, dude. I mean, it's good that,
yeah,
like,
as you get older and, you know, all the pixie dust wears off that Americanism and we're proud to be an American. And you start to see how systems work and how governments and how people controlled by the power brokers of the country. Then you'd be like, oh, man, I was ride or die.
Yeah.
Now I fear some bullshit.
I mean, you know, we don't, like, cut... You know, chicks' clits off or fucking enslave people anymore or stuff like that. Like, some countries are still ridiculous, but...
But in a lot of ways, we're being fooled and made...
We're being
made
fooled in other
fucking,
ways. Yeah.
You know,
enslaved in other ways.
Yeah, mentally and told who our heroes are and...
Technology.
You know, told to worship this and, yeah, it's a little crazy.
You gotta buy the new phone, man.
I mean, it's sad because I wouldn't want to live anywhere else either. God damn it.
I know,
that's the only thing.
Part.
You know, it's like
I'd live in Europe or something.
You
know,
to
Europe.
I think about it too. I might live in the Philippines for 6 months.
About the Philippines. I'm not into young
for
boys.
6 months. You know what I mean?
All right, we'll go ahead and bring our guests in so they can chime in on our anti-pro-American stuff here. First guest to my far left, we got Jared Freed from MTV's Philosophy. Give it up in the Bro Bible. Jared Freed, everybody. Yeah. Yay.
Jared Freed.
And from HBO, Def Jam, and tons of other TV cool stuff. Give it up for Freeze Love, everybody.
Freeze Love.
Yay.
Back again for Encore performance presentation,
here, man.
Good to have you guys.
Two of my favorite things. Hicks and Hops.
You're going to say weed and internet radio. Cool,
Jared,
man.
You, what is I didn't hear Bro Code.
Bro Bible.
Bro
ahead,
Bible.
Explain it.
Yeah.
It's like a men's lifestyle website, but it's like a frat. It's a Maxim online.
Ah, dope.
So
okay.
It's like for dudes, you know, talking about like spring break and.
Yeah,
it's
cool. What
get chicks, get out of the front.
Yeah, what cologne to wear? Yeah, game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like how to
pick up artist shit.
That type of stuff. Like teaching dudes how to be more, you know, douchey. You know,
how to be the man, how to get the girl.
So we got leftover vodka.
How to lose the girl and how to. Yeah.
Yeah, what vodka to drink? Like how to play beer pong? You know, it's all that stuff. Like what you want to buy in a store. Every day, every 15 minutes, I'd post a new stuff. And
so you're a big fraternity guy?
I was in a fraternity.
What fraternity?
Beta Theta Pi at Penn State.
Oh, shit.
So that was...
wow.
It's weird to talk about Penn State, like, fraternity hazing.
Well, you touched on
now.
Your booty, man.
Yeah.
That's the toughest thing to, like, talk about now because it just sounds, like, extra bad.
Yeah,
it does.
Never did a fraternity, man.
No?
Yeah,
why not?
I was a Mormon once. That was about as close as I got.
To a frat.
I don't know. I didn't really go to... I didn't go to schools that really had that. It was more like art schools and stuff.
Yeah, my art
really
school,
had.
We didn't really have it. Actually, after School Days came out, we tried to start a little black fraternity in my school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of brothers who liked to hang out.
The black fraternities are the best ones. Like, they are into it.
Well,
you know, the most into
it's
it.
The stomping, right?
The
they stomp the yard.
Stepping.
Now it's stepping. It was stomping.
They wear
ago.
The letters like crazy.
Steppin'.
Like it's they have a whole other world.
You think it lasts though? Because like a lot of white fraternities, I mean, those guys are like, you know, it's longevity. You know what I mean? Like
it lasts because like those are my friends. You know, like I came from Boston to Penn State, so I didn't really know anybody there. So I was like, oh, this is a place to meet new people. They got chicks that come over every night. Like, what could be wrong about that, you know?
Who's the most famous guy in your fraternity? Like some old dude, congressman or something?
I should know. This is like the type of stuff you're supposed to know. It's we have Mike Schmidt from the Phillies.
Hey, all right.
Was it third baseman?
The mustache.
Yeah.
I know that dude.
Yeah.
So do you have a secret handshake?
There's a secret handshake. I used to tell like pledges the fake secret handshake. Like I'd tell them, I'm like, listen. They'd be like halfway through pledging. And I'd be like, listen, I'll tell you the secret handshake. And I'd hug them. And like whisper in their ear, like Beta Theta Pi. And they'd be like, really? And I'd be like, yeah, go do it to that other guy. And then like, why the hell are you hugging me? You know, like.
So well, I love that movie Skulls, man. It's nothing like that, right?
No. Like that Skulls was just like... so cool. Yeah.
But that's apparently a real thing.
Yeah.
George Bush was a Skull. Senior.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Brother.
Do you think they're giving them like sports cars and stuff like that? You think it's like
I
that?
I think so, man. I mean, I had some relatives that were Masons, and I think it's similar.
Okay.
It's like...
You look out for your own. It's
I wish I had something like that, you know?
You know?
Just join some club where people take care of me
take
and, like,
care, you
get a brotherhood. Yeah.
Well,
I think they're
like... I was in
that.
Army.
Yeah, the Klan, motherfucker.
Okay. You know, Army's car. I just,
Army's like that.
Nah, Klans, they don't... That's ridiculous. Go ahead. That was just stupid. Go.
I was just saying I was in the Army, and it's kind of like that.
Like, yeah.
I just,
one
I just,
for all for one?
Well, not necessarily like, well, yeah, I guess so. Because if like, all, that's what we did. We did a lot of fighting, and it was one for all for one type stuff. And, you know, you go
you're
to
from
the bar,
different
you
backgrounds,
fight,
but
whatever.
Now.
You all went through the same thing.
The same, yeah, exactly.
Process to get to, like, wherever rank you were.
Exactly.
That's kind of the same
boot
thing with pledging.
Whatever it is.
You, so you know, who are you more loyal period. To, your fraternity or your dudes you grew up with?
Like, oh, I think it just condenses it. Like, you know, your dudes you grew up with, they didn't go to the Army, but you know, you knew them for so long that you have this, like, shared thing from home. Mm-hmm. And then you squeeze that. That's why you pledge. You squeeze in all that camaraderie into, like, you know, however many weeks.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I would say there's no comparison, really. My army friends.
So if you saw
one friends,
fight, who would you
choose? Oh, my people, from, they know where my mom lives, man.
It's so funny that it's so funny that we're comparing the army to a fraternity. Like, I had to, like, I had to drink and, like, you know, yeah, whack off a dude. Like,
then you really had to jack up?
No,
white fraternities be doing freaky shit out here, right?
No. They people think that. It's never that bad.
Not that bad.
No.
Well, in Skulls, the whole thing was just like, you know, you'll be hooked up for life, like, economically and stuff. Like, I don't know if that happens with, you know.
No, you just, it's like a nice thing. We had an alumni that came back to our fraternity one day, and he just showed up out of nowhere, and he gave $6 million to the fraternity.
So oh, wow.
It's like been
to the fraternity?
To the fraternity, so it got redone. So it's like heated bathroom floors, leather couches, oak bunk beds.
Holy shit.
Like, it's ridiculous. And then
so you lived in the house and everything?
I lived in the house until I was graduate, like for 3 years of, you know, freshman year in the dorms. And then this guy, like, gave a bunch of my friends jobs, you know, right out of college. And, you know,
dope.
He hooked them up pretty good. But, you know, that's kind of the only way I've ever seen it happen. I don't think anyone's getting like that.
I think some of that's happening though. Like, if you're, you know,
it's like a shared thing.
Like,
you know,
if somebody comes in, it's on your resume. I'm sure that's going to be you're going to go to the top of the list.
Like, oh, you were part of Sigma Theta Phi. Sigma Theta Phi guy.
Yeah, we do that dance.
Yeah. We are the boys of Sigma Chi.
We're singing fraternity.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah, we are singing fraternity.
Sing your song, man.
I don't even remember. But we used to have like a 10-page singing book, and we'd have singing lessons once a week.
Jeez.
It's really, it was for a bunch of dudes that like walk around trying to not be gay as much as possible. We did some pretty gay stuff, you know.
So you guys have certain protocols, certain ways of living you have to live.
You just have
by.
To learn like certain knowledge, certain music. Like when a guy would, it was like old school to me. Like I was from, you know, the Northeast, and this felt very old, you know, and kind of just like a little more southern, even though it was in Pennsylvania. Middle of Pennsylvania is kind of a weird place.
Yeah, it is kind of rural country out there.
And we did, like, guys would pin their girlfriends. And, like, the whole fraternity would sing to the girlfriend getting pinned, which is a nice thing. But like, it's kind of funny to look back on now. I'm like, I'm not singing to any chick.
I'm,
you know?
I'm from Boston. I'm not singing to no fucking stank.
Eat some chowder.
Yeah. Get in here.
I have to say that after every song I sing. Eat some chowder just to feel right.
Oh, nice, man. So what if you got bad grades? Were they like on you for that type of shit? Like, did you have to have a certain?
No,
grade?
We had
like,
guys.
Did you guys support each other?
We'd have these weird things where guys in our fraternity would, they would be. We would all be like, is he still in school? Like, or is he just living?
Oh, he's
here?
Just here.
You know, you'd have like those couple guys. And you're like, I haven't seen that kid go to class for months. And then we had one kid that would carry around a backpack, and we always used to think if we like open it up, there'd be just candy in it. Because like we never saw him go to class ever.
He was a weed dealer.
Yeah, we never the backpack kid. But we never really. It was like awkward to ask because people get offended because. They would think, you know, everyone's supposed to be in school. It's not just a party.
Were there a lot of drugs in your fraternity and stuff?
Penn State's a drinking school. More than
drinking
like,
school.
You know, the drugs kind of happen behind closed doors, which I was, like, happy about. You know, it wasn't, people weren't just running around.
Like, hey, want some?
Yeah, like, look at how high we are or how much coke we did. It was just more drinking time.
Do you feel you find it hard to be out of the college state of mind? You know, I mean, comedy is a good place because I think we're all kind of like, basically in that college head as stand-up comics, like it's kind of the same kind of vibe.
Yeah,
still kind of young and maybe
it's tough to like get out of that.
We are young.
Yeah, it does.
Well,
denial. I think most comics
in your head
denial.
On the regular. Wanna set this place on fire?
Just singing.
I think all comics are fighting age, man. We're just like, we don't want to grow up.
Yeah, it is weird because it's kind of hard because I kind of, you know, I'm in my 40s. I want to be a grumpy old man, but it's hard to because you're a comedian, so you kind of have to keep that little that little kiddish shit.
And
about.
I think you want to keep it. Like,
yeah, you
it's
do.
Not like you have
you do.
To. It's like it's in you, I think. I don't think you have a choice.
Plus, younger people keep jumping in, so it's like you become constantly befriending
a younger
people. Person to teach you about this, like, you know, here's what's happening in this world right now. You know?
I have 19-year-old friends. I never thought, I mean, because I'm a comic. It's like, there's just, it's just the weirdest thing.
But you wouldn't think of their age once.
No, not at all. And they keep me up with the music, and then I tell them about how it used to be. And, you know, it's hilarious. But it does keep you young to know young people, because that's what happens when people get old. You usually don't know anybody. You know, younger than them. That's how they.
Unless
I think that's
how
you age.
Kids or their kids' friends.
Yeah,
like a lot of people, they, you know, they can't even talk to younger people because it's, oh, I have to be the parent.
Yeah,
you know, you have to be in that lane. You know.
Well, I see that with comics. I can always tell, like, you know, sometimes I'll showcase comics, and you could just tell that they don't know how to communicate to young people. And I think that's, I don't know. I think there's some older comics that can still rock a young crowd, but I see that happen a lot, where it's like older comics, like a Robert Klein, it's basically his. You know, audience from his generation.
Well, Jim Gaffigan still pulls a college crowd, I think, and so does
you know,
Louis C.K. People get him. They get his humor.
Yeah, Louis, after he did, it was something, I think, on Conan or something. Like, he had one of those spots, and really, like, that's really when it just exploded for the college market for him.
Yeah, I went to, like, Atlantic City once, and I was, like, the host for these two older comics, and... You know, they were older guys. You could tell, like, they were doing specifically older comedy, like talking about, like, menopause and their wife kids, going through and their kids. And I was like, but they were crushing it, like killing, like unbelievably. Like, I was kind of struggling because I had to, like, you know, it's all 80-year-olds there, and I did okay. Like, I tried to play like the part of like their son, you know, up on stage. But these two older guys, like, you could tell they were aging in comedian years. It kind of like what you're saying. Like they were much older, but they were also still young. Like, they're still talking about, you know, sex and stuff, but as like an older guy with like an older wife.
Yeah, but I think a real comic can keep getting a young crowd. You know, I mean, I'd go see George Carlin. There'd be like 15-year-old kids in there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I still rock prom shows like to this day. Like, I don't care. Like, I'll keep, you know, when I can't do that, I'll have a problem with myself, because I want to be able to keep communicating and relating to younger crowds.
Yeah.
You don't want to be that old dude.
I think sometimes, like, especially the Bro Bible stuff, I'll get, like, tossed back into, like, these situations. Like, I go to these videos where I've been to, like, the Carolina Cup, which is a horse race in South Carolina. And I go interview these people on the street. And it's like, that is a party. That is a tailgate. That is all young people. It's like, you can't get away from that party. Yeah. You get there, and
but
it's like,
wow.
Yeah, they're just ready. They're like, oh, you're the guy from the frat dude video. Come on, let's go drink 1,000 beers. And I'm like, I can't even walk right now. I got up early this morning, you know?
So did you create this Bro Bible? Or
no, I just...
Is it two different shows? One's the Bro Bible and one's...
No, I did this video called, like, Frat Dude Goes to Comic-Con, where I just... I was a huge fan of, like, the... Triumph the Insult Comic Dog videos. So I was like, I want to do that, but like as a frat guy. Like, what would it be like if he was with all the nerds?
I think I've seen that or some shit.
Maybe it went around a little bit, and then I had to take it down because someone was like, I don't want my face on the internet. So I took it down. But Bro Bible saw that, so I went and met with them, and we basically worked out a deal where they could, you know, get me to go do more videos and write. And I like writing, so I was like, I'll do a column for you guys every Thursday.
Oh, sweet.
So... But their site, you know, they're huge. They get like 3 million people reading a month, and, you know, they got an audience. Like, they have fans.
I tell you, the internet is just, I mean, it's amazing what it's opened up for artistically. Like, it just used to be a time it was either like the Tonight Show or movies, or you were unemployed. Like now it's just like you could do so much with the internet. You don't have to go through the middleman. You don't have to go through red tape. You could just, bam, I got an idea. Let's do it. Let's get it out there. As long as you get a fan base coming in, it's like you can be successful. Make really good
look
money.
At Hip Hop Radio.
Look at Hip Hop Radio. No, but everything. I mean, it's phenomenal. It really is. Nobody realizes how fucking amazing it is.
I know. That's the thing. Yeah. I think we, you know, we've been in stand-up, 20 years?
Long time, okay.
So stuff like, simple stuff like headshots and resumes, that was a major deal.
Yeah.
You would have to, you know, just to get headshots, there were no digital cameras, digital photographers.
Oh, yeah. You know, you had to
I had to go to some guy's apartment.
The proof sheet.
How to pose.
Exactly. And then once you found the picture, after you met with your agent and then met with your manager,
you had to look at the sheet, the contact sheet.
So stressful.
You had to get it printed, and then the
on a printing press.
Right, all that stuff was money, man.
What year are you guys talking about? The '50s? How old are you guys? What's going on?
Probably got a Civil War photographer.
No, man.
Like
oil gunpowder.
Like 10 years ago.
The flash.
15 years ago. It was,
It was a mission.
No, but he was just
then
saying
you got
it was
a black and white photo.
It's a different thing. It was a different time.
And then they had to pick where you, how you wanted your name and where the space.
It had to be a certain way. Yeah. If it wasn't a certain way, it didn't even get looked
but
at.
But it's like our generation, you have to have a TV credit to move up. Your generation, you can have a video and move up.
Right.
Yeah. Our generation, absolutely.
I don't think that TV credit thing really is.
Absolutely does.
Really
in our era, like, when we came up,
oh, yeah, TV credit.
In like 95 or something, you trying to tell me a TV credit didn't matter? Absolutely mattered.
Yeah.
You got Def Jam, or if you got Premium Blend, that you know,
but
your
then
steak
Def
roast.
Jam went against you at some point. At a certain point.
At a certain point,
at a certain
it
point,
did.
It was
definitely.
Like, huh?
It might have pigeonholed you.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you
know, like
you
me,
did it, right?
Like
you did it.
Yeah.
Freeze
Love from Def Jam. That was 1994.
But it came back though.
But
you
yeah,
know?
Exactly. So it's
and the House Party movies.
House Party movies. Showtime. Oh. All of that stuff is you know cool now because you got IMDb. You can just boom. That's everything I did. Before, there was nothing. There was no database. It's like anybody could come up and say, well, I've been on this movie and that movie.
Really? A lot of people did, too.
Yeah, because you couldn't even get a
I can't imagine how hard it was to tell, like, a girl that you were a comedian. Like, they're like, tell me, you know, because girls are always like, tell me a joke. And it's like, I'm not going to do that right now. Like, that's the worst thing that could ever happen. But, like, now I'm just like, okay, Google this. And then they can just see me at my best, you know, or something that I've produced, you know, like I, that's an easy, you know, an easier out to that question.
Yo, what's up with this vodka over here? Somebody bring that here.
I was looking at it too.
And we got a bottle of
because this is a ghetto radio station.
A bottle of vodka sitting.
There's
right on
crack in the corner over there.
Oh,
there's
for real?
Vodka on the table.
There's some Molly's on the table.
You
want to
do a shot? Do a shot, man.
Nah, I can't drink right now. I'm drinking coffee. Coffee and vodka don't mix, does it?
Like hell, does you it? Say.
Some people does.
It can if you want.
I know coffee and
vodka.
They got that coffee
vodka mixed with anything.
Coffee and tequila, maybe. You know.
I don't know.
Coffee and vodka.
Whiskey. It depends on
that's
the
how much of an alcoholic you are.
Yeah. There's plenty of people that are drinking coffee and vodka right now. It's good to go.
People drinking Listerine right now. Like it isn't.
Really?
You're right.
I've seen people do that shit.
Goes, they're both liquids. You know,
so. Exactly. So they go together.
I was a day job way back, and I saw this lady, and she would just like chug Listerine like scope. Just start drinking it. You know, she's like typing on the thing, and then she just lean over and
she was an alcoholic, a serious alcoholic.
What do you think? And then she put it back down. No, she just keep working.
She's just a fan of Listerine.
You know, I used to have, when I worked, I used to be a cable technician.
Cable guy!
And there's one guy, that was me, man. We had one guy that had, he had bottles. He had little bottles all up in all the transformers.
Oh, for real?
Like, you would open the transformer and these little bottles would fall out.
One screw?
He'd be like, yo, I know who this is.
Oh, wow.
McKenna was here.
Wow.
McKenna, yeah, I drink him and shit.
Alcoholism is serious, man. I couldn't see drinking, you know.
On a telephone pole. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about all the transformers are in the air. On a telephone pole, and he had little bottles. You would hit
just
bottles.
Hiding them.
He was fine. He would stick them up there.
Nips.
I'm like, leave them for the birds.
Yeah, the nips. Little like an airplane.
Yeah,
bottles,
the airplane.
You know?
Yeah.
My grandmother carries those around everywhere she goes. She pours her own drink. Like she'll bring those with her in her purse, like five of them, and then sneak them under the table. Yeah. I did it at a comedy club. The owner that was about to go on stage in Boston, owner was like, hey, I just saw your grandmother pouring her own drink. Can you go talk to her?
Oh,
I was like, are you serious,
Nana?
I had to like go up to her and like have a conversation with her about her drinking
Nana,
issues. Like, I was like, Nana, like, listen, can the owner just saw you? And then she lied to me. She was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Holy shit.
And I was like, are you serious, Nana? I'm not going to like tell on you. You know, just like let me buy you your drinks. And she looked back at me and she was like, tell the owner to go shit in his hat.
Nice.
And I was like, that's old school. You know,
that's a different era. Because we had a road manager, and we met up with his parents in Ohio. And his parents, they came to the show, and afterwards they're in the green room. And they said, this is with Eddie Griffin. Eddie Griffin said, would you guys like something to drink? And they was like, you know what? We're fine. They both had briefcases.
Yeah.
They put their briefcase on the table, cracked it open. He, the father, he had Stoli, he had a little mixing glass, yeah. Everything. It was a little bar.
Yeah,
right. And his wife, she had like a little Johnny Walker set up.
Wow.
Like brand. I was like, wow, they're not playing.
It's a little bit of lemon. Anyone want some lemon?
Right, yeah, they had a little sliced lemon. This was
like the airplane cart coming through.
Yeah, wow. Exactly, you know.
I like being present, man. I don't understand it. I guess it's this age in my life and just.
Well, you've been through it all, though.
Yeah, but I don't understand why people don't have like a point where like, all right, man, I'm done. I love it. I love being able to just. I know everything. I feel everything. That's good and bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like I don't know. I think at a point you got to be like, all right, dude, let's stop checking out.
But I guess you get so used to it. Like I was talking to a guy the other day that's smoking those electronic cigarettes. It's just humans are habitual.
Oh. Mm.
So like even me like that I've stopped. I say I stopped smoking weed, but I didn't. But. But I tell you what I do miss when I don't smoke weed, with just the holding a blunt and passing it. Oh, and it's like, ooh, I don't even want to be high. I just want to get that first.
The romanticism of it, yeah.
And hold it, and then, ooh. And then after I'm high, I'm like, wow, man, I don't feel like being high. I got shit to do.
I feel like this is great. This is it. And
really?
Yeah, I love.
Yeah, but some people get high I got family members. I got people who are still, they seem to be completely present, completely engaged in conversations, laughing, pop, 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 pop.
Right.
But Shrug, me,
I get out of my zone.
Yeah.
People I was just chilling with a second ago, now they're suspect.
Yeah, see, that's because you haven't gone over the hump. You just got to just smoke out.
No, you don't. Don't listen to Freeze. Don't smoke at all.
I've gotten better at stopping my brain and saying, okay, it's just an illusion. Okay, you're okay. I had to,
maybe he's smoking better weed. That's probably.
Yeah, I smoke all weed. Freeze I'm not an uppity weed smoker. I go with the Brooklyn Boogie. Look, I got a cut on my finger right now from breaking up some weed.
Freeze would be the worst sponsor ever. Like if someone had a drug problem, you're like, you need to smoke more.
Yes, see, it's a problem. Build up a tolerance. You're not committing. You're just scratching the surface of this thing.
I think if you're single. If you're in your 20s, maybe early 30s, do whatever you want. After a while, you got to get focused.
I mean, the focus is,
if you got kids, you shouldn't smoke weed. My parents smoked weed. My parents smoked weed. It was awful. My mom smoked weed my whole life when I was a little kid. It was awful.
Why was it bad?
Well,
just your family, she would just
wasn't around, man.
Well, like I don't smoke weed in front of my kids, and my kids are almost.
My mom had a pipe; she smoked right next to me.
Yeah, see, I don't get down with that.
Yeah, I got friends that do that.
I can't do that. I let my kids, but I let my kids know. Listen, man, if you're gonna do anything, the only thing I advocate is weed.
Advocate.
Yeah, I have. Hey, man, that'll calm your ass down.
Yeah, when you're at a certain age. You can get a certain age.
See, Xanax is bad. That's drugs. Weed is like a bush.
Yeah, but you can, you don't. A 12-year-old shouldn't be smoking.
No, hell no. 12-year-old?
13,
fine. I mean 18 and above.
Yeah. Okay. I'd say after college. After college. Get focused. Get your shit together.
We'll definitely take you off your focus.
Unless you have a talented artistically, it's not. See, you're artistic, so it's different.
Yeah.
Not everybody. Artists can do it differently.
I think I did so much of the stupid shit I did in life when I was drunk.
Mm. Oh.
That I'm afraid.
Weed is way better than alcohol.
Yeah. You know, and it's like if you're going to screw up. I say screw up with weed
I can't smoke weed. I freak out because I feel like I lost control. Like I feel like I don't have sense of where I am. Like at least with alcohol, at least with alcohol, it's like okay. Just like you're saying, like people keep going, they go past the point and they get bad.
Yeah.
But you can kind of control it up to that point if you're going the right way. Like if you're doing,
yeah.
You know, I think you're saying about the habit. Like drinking, when you're in a bar and you're at a point, you're just like, you're kind of bored.
You need something in your
something
hands.
To do, something to drink.
Nah,
you're like, let's
you
do
don't
a
have
shot.
To be bored. You just tell yourself that. You can talk to somebody about how to drink. I do it all the time. 5 years sober. I sit there with lemonade.
Sometimes instead of a drink, I'll get like an orange juice and glass of water.
Doesn't matter.
Just have something in your hand, but you know.
The whole feeling of alcohol to me just, you know what it was? One time I was walking, I drank at a bar and I had drank and then I turned around to leave the bar and I got that Swayze.
Oh, that ooh.
And I almost fell on this chick and the look in her eye, the horror in her eye made me like, yo, I'm too damn big to be out here stumbling around.
Falling.
Ever since then, I've been real conscious, self-conscious about being buzzed. And
I miss cocaine. That was my favorite.
See, I never did.
Kept me focused, gave me energy.
Like be awesome. I never
Coke is great. Gives me only if it's pure. That's a problem.
I'm afraid to, but it sounds like.
Well, I would buy this like Harlem Uptown shit. It was awful, cut with who knows what. You know, but if it's pure, you know, I've had pure cocaine. It's amazing.
I couldn't stand cocaine.
Like, amazing.
Cocaine was tough because you'd have to talk to cocaine people, and that was like always the most rough guy who just was like we, especially in a fraternity, like with white dudes who do cocaine, like they will tell you how much money is in their pocket and in their bank account, like we're all in a row, and it's like I'm not gonna deal with you, I gotta babysit you, like, and then they repeat themselves like a thousand times.
Well, I always did hot chicks always seem to do cocaine in my world. It's always some hot stripper chick or something.
Oh, yeah, I've hung out with some hot girls that were on coke. I was like, wow.
Yeah, and they're horny, too.
Yeah.
They just it gets them up, man. It gets them ready to go.
I like, but cokeheads are always annoying to me just because they have to do it every 5 minutes. The cokeheads I hang out with, it's like the party stops every 5 minutes so they could do some more coke.
It was expensive, too. The high was never worth the low. Like, I was like, you know, you have to spend a lot of money on it. You do it, then you have to do it again. And then you'd wake up in the morning and be like, oh, my God. I don't want to live right now.
Well, like, with me, it was like cocaine was always the closer. You start out with booze, and then the door shut, and the weed came out.
Hmm.
And then the next thing you know, some guy's got a bag of coke, and then it's just a boom, boom, boom. It was always a 1, 2, 3. I never like woke up going, I need coke. It was always like, go to the bar. Hmm. And then when the bar's closed, everybody's smoking weed, and then it ends up.
Weed never
coke.
Felt like a Saturday night drug. Like, weed never felt like I needed, like, I was like, oh, we're out, let's party.
It's all the time.
It's all the time.
Don't try to push it just to Saturday.
And what does coke cost? Like, if you wanted to buy, like, a gram, a half, an eight ball, what's the difference?
It seemed like 50 bucks or 60 bucks was always get me something. Yeah. But I really wouldn't buy it that much. It was more just like, there's always some guy just had it. I never. That's not.
Nobody wants to
I never really bought anything. Weed either. It was always
that's
just
weird.
Some guy
like,
had.
Once you start doing something, then everyone it kind of comes around you.
Yeah,
you
know I never like? Had to buy drugs.
Like I got
ever.
A friend who's a cokehead, and he's always in that coke lane. He knows people. He could tell who's on coke. He could tell. It's
and
just
I,
like
that always boggles my mind. Like, how did you know?
Yeah,
you could
tell.
I always want to ask him, like, what do you mean? How did you not know? You know,
it's like, but it's just like you. Whatever. You ever go out of town because we're
on
the road?
That's true.
And I always could find weed. Like
always
you could boom boom.
Weed.
I was in Milwaukee or something. You got that, boom, bam, bam. We were right in front of the cops, too. Yeah, boom, bam, slipped them, bow, bow. It's like you find each other. Yeah.
It's quite a language the weed guys have. Boom, boom,
boom
bow, bow, boom,
you
bow.
Got that, yo, what, I got $20 for you. Boom, word, bam, boom, bow, bow. And the police
Charlie,
right there.
Scoopity, boop,
boop, bow, bow.
Charlie Brown parents were weed dealers.
But it's unspoken. That's how you know, that's how you move.
Boom,
it's
boom,
like, bang, bang.
Mow, 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 mow.
Boom, boom, shoot, bow.
I don't know. I think that's why you should legalize all the drugs, heroin, cocaine, everything. Legalize all of it. Tax it. And
except
then,
bath salts. Don't. Yeah,
it's already legal. It's already legal.
Mushrooms.
I've never done mushrooms. I stopped at weed. Weed for me was like,
mushrooms are amazing. Mushrooms, it's like a whole bag of weed. It's amazing. It's better than any weed I've ever smoked. It's awesome.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you got to set yourself up. You can't just be walking down the street smoking.
Don't get
mushrooms.
On an airplane.
But that's what I see. But that's... it's worth it. It. You make an event out of it. You know, you go to a concert, or you go to the beach, or it's cool, man. I don't know. I'm just into the psychedelicness of it with like colors and stuff. It's cool, man.
Yeah, I hear it's good to be around nature, like in nature.
Yeah, I saw Lenny Kravitz on it at the Beacon, and that was pretty cool, man. Oh, it was just like you know the light show and stuff. It was cool.
A lot of people in Hollywood, that's what they do. Is like they go out to the desert.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're gonna
Joshua Tree.
Dude, we're going to Joshua Tree and doing some shrooms.
Let's go to the Universal Circus.
now that would be fun, baby.
Shrooms are good though. But then you realize what it is, and you're like, basically, you're eating fungus off cow shit. That's all. That's what it is.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yes, it grows.
Yeah,
like
it's
cow
exactly
shit.
What it is. It's like cow shit, like a cow patty. Is in the field or whatever, and then
NASA.
The mushrooms that grow off of the cow shit is what they pluck, and that's what gets you high.
Shit, well, you eat a cow, shit, that's all.
You're
NASA.
Basically eating cow shit. You're eating the fungus off cow shit.
You know, we all connected.
How did they find that?
Right.
Who was the first guy?
The same guy that was out there like, licking frogs.
Yeah.
These frogs get you high, too.
Some like, hungry motherfucker.
Back in the day, like before.
You're just hungry. Eat whatever.
Just looking to eat something.
Mushrooms. It probably doesn't look like cow shit after so many months. Well, it just looks like the earth, you know?
Yeah, it's like just like dirt.
Just like dirt.
Roast beef.
Probably can't tell that it's cow shit, you know what I mean?
Beef jerky.
I always think of those things like start because
they fertilize.
They fertilize. Oh, yeah. So they put it in the ground and stuff.
Well, I mean, it fertilizes within the ground, so you probably doesn't look like a big pile of shit with mushrooms on it.
Yeah, it's just covered with moss.
Yeah, you can't really tell what it is, probably. Yeah.
That stuff I always think comes from like some guy's weird fetish, and now like we're all doing it. Like some guy was just like into like cow shit and got in his mouth a little bit, and then he saw some colors, and he's like, "You gotta try this."
No, wait, don't rub any more on me. Wait a minute.
Wow.
That is crazy.
We should
stay present, kids. Drugs are overrated.
Yo, I mean.
Yeah, weed gets me out of present. Definitely out of present.
Stay present. Who
someone
cares?
Will say one thing to me and my mind will just stay on that one
stay
thing.
Stay present.
I go,
man.
What? Huh? What were we saying?
Do you write jokes when you're high? You got jokes?
I used to.
I think I do.
I hit the stage high.
You hit the stage high?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Freeze is high right now.
I assume that.
I used to, not as much.
I assume
as
that from his get high
I mean,
all the time.
Me, it's a different thing. If you don't,
oh, you're a professional. You pull
you
it off.
Smoke weed, yeah. If you smoke weed, I mean, if you don't smoke weed and then you say, "Well, I'm gonna smoke some weed tonight and do some comedy," I personally think you might have one of the worst sets in your life.
Yeah,
because you don't do that. You don't.
Yeah.
You can't because you'll get in your head if you don't. Sometimes,
right?
Yeah. But I've killed on weed before,
yeah,
and then but I think it started to deteriorate.
It was one of those things
though.
That
you
I
rely
think,
on it.
Yeah,
too.
It happened. Like I was maybe smoking some weed. And someone says, "Yo, you want to take a fallout?" Like, yeah, because I was high. I didn't even think twice and just went out there. And was like, wow, I was killing it. Because
you'd be whoo wee wee. You feel like
I think you just
the noises keep coming up.
You just have the nerve to let go. Yeah. I think and roll with it.
Or what's happened to me and stuff. I've seen other people have it where, you know, you're not being responsive to the energy of the crowd or whatever. Yeah, like you're too caught in your head. You're like, and sometimes when you watch the tape, it's not as good as you thought it was.
That's real. That is definitely real. That's definitely real. I definitely make better connections when I'm not high than when I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm sharper.
And watch the tape too.
And I can actually talk to the audience afterwards when I'm not high. When I'm high. I can't talk to the people leaving.
Dude,
they freak me out.
I did that Chilkoots in Alaska, and like some Indian. I mean, when an Indian dude offers you weed, you smoke it, you know. And this guy was offering, and I just could not talk. Mm-hmm. Like he gave it to me, and I was just in a corner and could not relate to anybody after the show. It was horrible. I mean, it was fun, I guess, for a minute, but
yeah,
I don't
it throws
know.
Off my chi energy, B.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to even talk to women after I smoke.
Yeah, I don't want that. Whiskey though would make me a sociable guy. Like whiskey was great.
I cannot drink before I hit the stage. If I drink and then I go on stage, it's like there's an underlying meanness. Somebody says something, I say, "Yo, really? Really?"
Yeah, I used to get
it's
mean.
It's not a heckler anymore. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think people should drink before they go on stage. I think it's a, I don't know. It's a cop out because it's like you're trying to get loose, But you're already loose. Just relax. Take a breath. Just relax. People get too caught up in like, hey. It's like, I don't know. You've been doing this before. You don't have to do it. You know, you don't have to get drunk to go on stage. Do it after. I'm all about celebrate after. That's my whole thing.
Yeah, that's where I've gone.
Like, I'm not, like, I'm a straight edge, but I don't say, I think everybody should do what makes them feel good, but I think they should time and a place.
You should be able to handle your business.
Yeah.
Period. And if you, if you feel that you need something to handle your business, that's your first mistake.
Yeah.
Only thing you need is you and God.
But the problem is there's so many amazing artists that were fucked up and did such great work. You know what I mean?
Like encourage people.
Yeah, encourage people. Jimi Hendrix, Richard Pryor, Lenny Bruce, you know, I mean, Sam Kinison, Jim Carrey, Robin Williams. I mean, you keep going and going and going. The guys that were fucked up all the time, on stage, off stage, in movies, in concerts, and nailed it.
So there's authors and
Bukowski and guys, there's guys that just were always fucked up and created such great work. So that's, I had a problem with that because my whole thing was like, you know, I remember when I was sober, I saw Doug Stanhope on stage at this little club, and he, you know, he was just drunk and crazy, and it was just genius. And I said, you know what, I'm gonna start drinking again because I want to have that that thing on that rock and roll that he's got. And then it's like I went right back to going getting fucked up, and it was just like,
wow,
you know, it was a rough road for me. But it's like some guys can do it, some guys can't. You know,
yeah, it's hard for me. We should take a test on a music break. We should go out and smoke some weed.
Yeah. See how it goes.
Come back and see how the rest of the interview is.
I'll be doing cocaine in a week.
Welcome.
See Dustin. Dustin a week later out in the
corner. Stop barking at me, Larry.
I wonder is there like heavy drugs in like the country western scene? Are there any?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Like hardcore.
Are you fucking kidding me? We started it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Country
like Hank Williams Jr. Does he get
I don't know. There's a song called Hank. Why do you drink? Hank, why do you roll smoke? What do you think, dude? It's a family tradition.
Of course. How could I forget? Snoop
Dogg, Charlie Pryor.
My man is in.
Fuck out of here, man.
See, that's how come I like
country
music.
The 70s. Especially the 70s country stars, getting like Tom Jones and all those guys. Yeah.
The thing that surprised me the most, the people that do a ton of weed are basketball players. Like they say weed is like the biggest thing for basketball. NBA. Like the NBA, it's like a huge
deal.
They
don't test?
They do, but I guess there's, you know, they know that just like anything, like, you know, acclimate to the test. So I read something that was like, in the NBA, you know you're going to get tested this many times. And then when you've gone through that many times and your contract, like, you're done.
Yeah.
So now they're on, you know, I'm ready to smoke now. Like, I can't believe they can do that.
That's when the shots go right through the
I could feel the whole court.
Do you think they're like, oh, I can play better on weed? Like, they don't think that.
Yo, don't let me into my zone.
Yeah, right.
Football players, too.
Football players I know
do a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a guy who was a baseball player. I met him in a bathroom at the Miami Improv. He goes, yeah, I pitch for the Marlins, man. Do you party? I was like, nah.
Do you party that dude? I know you're talking about. He parties hard.
Party,
too.
Yeah, dude peeled out some coke. Yeah. I was like, nah, I'm good, bro.
You know that guy. He fights people, too.
Oh, wow.
He's known for running off the mound, whooping people's asses.
Oh, man.
Holy shit.
He's no joke. He's retired.
Some dude.
But
some
I know
dude.
You're talking about. He's
well, that's when, you know you're really talented, when you can actually be an athlete and be fucked up and still perform. Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you party? Do you party? Famous last words.
Do you
say yes to do you party? And it's like, and then 10 days later, you wake up.
Yeah, I just came from a bar mitzvah.
It's funny because you mentioned Dennis Rodman in the beginning. And I remember me, Charlie Murphy, we were doing a show. Charlie was doing a show at the Improv in Irvine, and Dennis Rodman came to the show.
Mm.
And afterwards, he was like, yo, so what's up? Let's go. We're like, man, what do you mean, let's go?
I'm going to my room.
I'm trying to catch the History Channel. He's like, what? Really? Come on, man. You don't want to hang out with me. I'm Dennis Rodman. I'm exactly. That's why I don't want to hang out with you, man.
Dude,
you go too hard.
I don't know. I'm sober, and I would totally party with Dennis Rodman. Just for the story.
I'm telling you.
Just for the story.
He hung out in the green room. he hung out like it was enough. Mm-hmm. You were like, okay,
he's so profound.
Yeah. Well, the way I look at it, like, I don't do anything. For us, 2 years sober, clean and sober, and I was in Amsterdam, had a layover. And then we had two nights in Amsterdam, and I was like, you know what? I don't smoke weed, but I'm going to smoke it in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Same thing. It's the Dennis Rodman
thing. Yeah, Dennis Rodman is like Amsterdam.
I don't really party, but it's
Dennis. That's an American you should have.
Just the fact that he's such a prolific partier that he was like, you're not going to party? I'm Dennis Rodman. How could you not party with me?
Like, he's not used to hearing no.
He's like, really? I'm like, really, man? We're done.
And y'all never went?
Wow. No, man.
Oh, my God.
Right. Man, at this time, it was like probably 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, y'all would have went.
I would have gone.
It could have been 6 a.m.
Straight
to
lunch.
We had another show the next night. Radio. Like, nah, Den. Sorry, brother. Go ahead.
No, that's fine.
Sorry, Dennis. I don't like Carmen Electra.
All right, folks. we're gonna go to a song. Come back here on Hick Hop Radio. Yeehaw, Sean.
Welcome back to Hick Hop Radio. It's Kyle Groans. Make sure if you guys want to submit any comments, do so at hickhopradio@gmail.com. We will respond to your responses. Send fan mail to Kyle and hate mail to Dustin. If you get
I get all the hate mail.
Dustin get all the hate mail.
Shake it up here, Hick Hop Radio.
Or something.
I'm all right. My racism's getting better. Gotten better at it.
Oh, great, Dustin.
Getting better. I'm 22 days.
You're becoming 22
days
racist
sober. I said the N-word in 22 days.
You're in racist rehab.
I'm good. I don't even say it at the TV or nothing anymore.
Yeah, okay.
I'm getting better at it. Nothing happened. I don't want to get into it.
Okay.
I don't get into it. This is a situation where a guy called me a redneck. I called him, you know, whatever, and it got weird. Then it got around the comedy circuit. And Kyle brought it up last week, and then I told him the story.
Yeah, last week it hurt.
And I told him the story. I said, what happened, you know? Guy got in my face, or called me a hillbilly redneck, and then I got in his face and said things he were going to, well.
Do you agree with that? We got Freeze Love. Dustin called him a nigga.
He came at me hard, though.
This is my thing. When you start throwing words, expect to have words thrown back at you.
There you go.
If you can't take it, then don't throw the words. Now, if you just sit.
But I heard the dude was just eating an ice cream cone.
Shut up. He heard
that. He said, get out of my way, nigga.
That's not
it. He's sitting there playing Pac-Man. Shut up, dude. I was not.
He was feeding a homeless kid or something. And
feeding a homeless guy, yeah.
He was helping an old lady across the street. And Dustin said, move, nigga.
Yeah, but see, that's.
Don't you think there's like.
Call for a big day.
I don't know, but you guys were talking like America earlier and like how we. Yeah. I feel like we give America too much crap. Like, I feel like we're too hard on ourselves.
We're hard on America?
I don't know. Like, I think we're less racist than we used to be.
Shit.
Less racist.
No, I guess. Man. Maybe we are. I
think that it's.
We're not that racist, dude.
I think we're just more sensitive.
I think,
everybody's racist. Everybody.
No, but don't say that bullshit.
There's good racism and bad
people
racism.
People become racist because when you're a kid,
you say
racist.
Nice things about people as a group, and you say bad things. Like, if you were like, oh, man, I sit behind this Asian chick in math class because I want to cheat off her. Like, that's a nice racist thing. Like, that's she's good at math. They don't get mad at that. You don't see an Asian person be like, oh,
but
I hate that everyone thinks I'm good at math.
Dude, this country.
There's a difference between racism and prejudice. Sometimes you could not hate a group. But prejudge them based on what you think their history is and what what they do. You know,
I mean, the minute you take it the side of these people do that, it's self-proclaiming your idiocy. You're a fucking idiot because you cannot. There's no way you could say that one group is any one thing. There's no way. I know idiots of every race, and I know great people of every race. Mm-hmm. So you can't say, you just can't do that.
Yeah, I mean.
You'd be stupid.
Yeah, America would be just horribly boring without different races. Everybody brings something great. Mm-hmm. Everybody adds to it. That's what makes it such a great place to be to an extent. And then there's people, and it's all about location. Like, black dudes in New York are a whole lot cooler than, let's say, a black dude in, like, rural Alabama. Like, that's a whole different energy.
Well, see, that's generalizing, you fuck.
You
Because you don't. You, I know people from the country that's cool.
Yo, David Banner. David Banner.
Yeah, cool. Yeah,
cool. Now I'm just saying, it's like for instance, my sister recently, she had an accident. She fell in the shower. She had a scar. She had a friend at work who was Korean and told her, listen, just rub an egg on it. And my sister was like, what? What do you mean rub an egg? She's like, you never heard that? It's like, no, it's a cultural thing. Yeah. It's all Koreans know. You hard boil an egg.
About that before.
You cool it off and you rub it on the scar. Mm. And it'll take the bruising away. It'll heal quick.
And Koreans have nice skin.
That's ridiculous. But my sister tried it and it worked.
Oh, wow.
It worked. And now, I mean, my whole family, any little bruise we get, we'll rub an egg on it.
That's a lot of eggs now.
Yeah. That's something that I think that's America. Everybody's got something to bring.
Add to the pot.
We got that many ways to get rid of a scar now. You know what I mean?
No, music, everything, you know.
Everything. Yeah, because
works.
There's some
food. Forget it. Food? Come on.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine America with just like.
Yeah, because you've been to England. You know that food there.
Wow.
Yeah, you know.
Crap, yeah.
But most of it comes from the ethnic groups, you know. Uh-oh.
Well, that's my whole thing. Like, if you're truly racist, then you shouldn't be allowed to benefit from gifts of other races. Right. Like, if you hate Mexicans, right. And you got to build everything by yourself, and you can't eat tacos.
Right.
No guacamole, no nothing. Right. Like, you know, it's like, you truly, you know.
But I don't think we are all racist. I think we're, you know, because when you're kids, you don't even think about that till somebody puts it on your consciousness.
Well, that was the thing. I was thinking
you're a little racist, though.
Like, I was like, I was from a southern...
Towards me, all the time. I feel it.
No, Dustin. I'm not racist. You're just an asshole.
I'm not an
asshole.
It's got
nothing to do with your whiteness, motherfucker.
I'm a good dude. I'm a good dude. I'm a good dude. I help a lot of people.
Your whiteness don't affect me. It's you, motherfucker. Like, I look into your beady little eyes. You
got beady little eyes. Yeah, I don't beady eyes. Mad,
Dustin. Look at you.
See, that's a racist thing because George Bush has got beady eyes. I don't have
that's
eyes
not
like
a good
that.
Reference point.
I don't have eyes like that. I got beautiful all eyes. Right, I got Johnny Depp eyes, motherfucker.
I got Johnny Depp eyes.
You look like
yeah.
As a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta say my eyes are nice.
I don't have beady eyes.
George Bush does have some beady little.
Yeah, those are beady eyes. They're close together to beady.
That's why I call you D Dirty, motherfucker.
I love
you. You pulled out a stick on me one day. What was that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was hilarious.
One of those
a baton.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I said something like, what you gonna do, nigga? He pulled out a baton. I was like, oh, touche. I see where you coming from.
He used to carry one in my boot. You never know. I've been mugged. I was mugged by a black dude gunpoint. So, you know.
Shit. Nigga, what the fuck you gonna do, Dustin? And it was one of those wand. That comes out. Oh, it was a wand. Yeah. It came out.
Yo, I got hit with one of those.
That
I got
shit
hit
hurt.
With one of those in Berlin.
That's a by what?
The, yeah,
that's
Berlin. Serious weapon. The Polish side, the police, they don't carry weapons. They don't carry guns.
What they hit you for? You a visitor.
For being an American and being drunk.
Being drunk. There it is.
Drunk.
If you were just high, you wouldn't have said nothing.
Right. It's because they were drunk. Whatever they said in German.
They sobered your ass up.
Yeah, man, did they. I was getting beaten and I was speaking perfect German.
Marriott Hotel.
Now Germans, that's some true racism. Their history, holy shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because basically American racism comes Europeans coming over here, just you know, wanting to like provide for their family, have people work the crops. I mean, it's ignorance now as we look back at it. But when people were coming over to the New World of America, they were basically just, and people were saying that it was all right to have slaves. So, you know, that like what we think of what slavery is now wasn't in their brain back then. They didn't have the morals and things that we have now. Yeah, you know, basically people are just saying, hey, this is allowed. And so some Christian guy might be like, oh, okay.
Made
all right.
It normal.
Yeah.
And they also said that Africa, they almost made it seem like Africa was a dark continent, that slavery actually helped them because, you know, they said that they were throwing their babies into the ocean and all that type of shit.
Yeah, I'm sure some black people appreciated the food and stuff, but I think, you know, most didn't. I mean, being able to live. you know, to live and to be alive. I mean, there's not a whole lot in Africa. I've been to Africa.
Africa is the land of plenty. How is there not much in Africa?
Well, how come we always sponsoring a kid in Africa? How come we're always sending 60 cents a month?
Take all the natural resources and, you know, because, you know, white people know how to make some money.
But there's not a lot of resources in certain places. You
know, there's gold. There's every mineral you need on the planet in Africa. You
know, not certain places. There's tribes that are starving, man.
I watched this documentary, and I watched it on YouTube, and it was interesting.
Stealing.
No, because it was from a different perspective, and it was on the diamond trade. It was from from Rwanda. And they were saying, like, all this UCF food and all of this stuff, that they put all of this food to help the poor. Okay, before they give that food out, they use that food as a lobbying tool. Hmm. So it's not like, you know, it's like, okay, look, we want this guy in power.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason we want him in power is so that we can give you this UNICEF food.
Yeah.
Now, if he's not in power, well, we can't give you this food because we don't know what will happen.
Yeah,
to it.
So they can set up a puppet.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, government. Yeah. Shit.
And that's like what that
and
whole.
Say, we're going to give you jobs. We're going to bring these factories in here to mine and, you know, we'll take care of your people who are starving.
Yeah, but places like Ethiopia, you know, they're not growing corn and cabbage. You know, it's desert. So it's like there's certain places where it's like they don't have the resources that America has.
They need the white man.
They need to move. Like Sam Kinison's bit, move where the food is.
We need the white man to sail by in a ship. That's all we need the white man for. Just to put an anchor on your ship out there, we'll come get
one. And we need Africans for good bootlegs.
Yo, for real, they do got some of the best
bootleg DVDs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know, but you were saying, like, listen to the kids. Like, kids, you know, don't know racism. They just know different. Like, yeah. They, you know, they don't, like, you are what you is. Like, I don't, I think there is, like, you can be different and people will call that racism. It's like, no, you're just saying what that group usually does. Like, don't you think that's a thing? Or is that always racist?
I mean, it is, because you cannot say, anytime you say that group,
it does. Because you and your brother come from the same family, but you're not the same person.
That's right. True.
Even though you're both whatever your
race is. I can't
race
say
is.
That your whole family, I can see you doing something. I can't say that your whole family does that.
Of course.
I'd seem stupid.
Yeah.
You seen it. You saw him doing it. That means they all do it.
I have five brothers and sisters. Well, five siblings together. And we all kind of have different personalities, different goals, different, you know, things we do and the way we see the world.
I just remember I was from town outside of, like, Boston's like a pretty bad racism.
Oh, yeah. Boston's out of his fucking mind from what
Boston's
I hear.
It's an undercover. You mentioned Boston to black people and they're just like, no, that's not going there.
It's real up there. It's official.
It's like,
the white people in Boston are so white, they're actually like light blue.
The see-through. That's what they're clear.
But their basketball team is black. And that's why they're winning.
Yeah,
that's right. But then we had the MECO program. Like when I was from a suburb, and the MECO program would bus in inner city kids to go to our school.
Yeah, but they wanted to overturn their buses and shit, though.
Well, that was before the busing problem. But now what they do is they'll bring in kids to go to the school, you know, like in a suburb. And, you know, it was funny because you'd be like, oh, the MECO kids. Like you wouldn't even remember. You wouldn't be like the black kids. You'd be like, all the MECO kids.
Yo, well, I don't know. I know one thing that happened in Boston that was out just crazy is when Bill Russell won the championship for the Celtics, whatever year that was.
Yeah.
You ever hear this story?
No.
Yeah, about him buying a house or something?
Yeah, he bought a house you know, it was, and then this was right after he won the championship for the Celtics.
Yeah.
He bought a house, and when he went into he put everything in there. He pulled back his covers, and there was a big, big shit.
Really?
Yeah, right in his bed. And they were like, it was something it was a note or something like, don't get big headed, Jig, or something like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was
right
it
after
was
winning.
Right after winning, you know?
See.
So, and it's that kind of stuff that's like.
But that's really funny because then people talk about Southern people, and they're like, oh, Southern people racist. And it's like, no, that. You'd see some different type of stuff anywhere.
It's a new South, though. The South is changing, man. All the white kids like hip hop. You know, it's just changing, man.
Yeah, there are pockets of the South, like, you know, those major cities. You know, I've been to like Charleston, South Carolina, different places where it's getting a little more hip.
Yeah,
you know,
like Nashville.
Everybody's black now.
Nashville
man.
Is off the chain. Nashville, I think, within the last four, 5 years or something, I think they said they had 400,000 immigrants move to Nashville. Yeah. That's a big deal.
For look at Honey Boo Boo. She black.
Yeah. Honey Boo Boo.
You better redneckinize.
I love Honey Boo Boo. That's my girl.
She's a white people Flavor Flav, man.
That's why I like her. She's an equalizer.
Honey Boo Boo Jam.
We had Honey Boo Boo. We had, we had JJ. Who else?
White Zip Coon.
Who else? What are the coons we had in there? Rerun.
What other coons we had?
JJ.
Oh, don't fuck a Rerun. I love Rerun.
You see what I'm saying? That's why I was like,
Rerun could dance,
perfect.
Man.
She equals
is
it
this
out.
Like but you, the black jokes? Is that like what it is? Like Honey Boo Boo, we'd be like, oh, fuck. Look what she's doing.
Yeah,
look at how she's making us look. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Honey Boo Boo setting white people back.
Like
everybody got somebody that's embarrassing their race. Yeah. Like that's.
What you said.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's true what you said. That's about everybody listening to hip hop now. That's kind of weird because when I was in college, nobody was into hip hop.
No.
They were like white kids. You would either have to go to a white party or a black party. But now you go to a white party, it's all hip hop.
Yeah.
And that's where you hear some of the best hip hop.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
go to college party.
Yo, some of the black clubs right now that are, the stuff they're playing is not even hip hop.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure people would want to fight me, but hip hop, what I'm talking about hip hop is
that boom bap.
That boom bap.
I interviewed this Jewish kid from Long Island who's a hip hop artist, and he's like making it. He's like doing it. And he said that in high school, he used to have rap battles against another Jewish kid's, like a Jewish town's resident rap battle guy. That seemed like the most embarrassing thing to even look at from a...
prefer to call that is the beginning of the end.
Yes.
Since we...
parents are pissed.
So, Kyle, as a black man, how do you feel about Eminem?
As a black man. Eminem is a hot fucking rapper, man. I think, if you can do it, it's just like the same way I felt when the Beastie Boys came. They came with some hard beats. They came with some... The sound was good. It's like when Elvis... Anytime somebody... If a white person do it, they're going to have to do it good and great, and it can't be no bullshit.
Elvis,
and
though.
Black people accept it.
I don't know. Black people don't like Elvis, so I've heard. That's
when he first said it.
Elvis.
Elvis kind of ripped off, a lot of black artists.
Back then, they were specifically, they did anything they could to keep it separated. It wasn't like you even had a chance to see Elvis in his glory if you were a black person. You weren't even allowed into the arena anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? But as far as rappers go, there's some other good white rappers out there. Like, one that's current right now is this kid, Haystack. Have you heard of him? Yeah. Haystack is nice, and he's a country dude.
Let me look
a white up. Country, yeah.
Wait, I don't want to cut you, but while we mentioning hip-hop, we got another guest in the studio. This guy worked with him, shot a few videos with him. Yeah, brother.
Yeah.
Nero. Tell him about yourself, Nero.
Hey, what's up?
Nero in the house. Yeah.
Hey, New York City, I'm here. I was preparing a speech because I was running late. I was going to fall victim of one of those black guys that's always late.
We're used to it.
I made it, people. I made it.
You made it.
I'm Nero. I'm from West Africa, Liberia, raised in Brooklyn, New York. Now, I traveled all around the tri-state. I'm also called a tri-state bandit due to my father's political background. He took us everywhere from Connecticut, Brooklyn, Jersey, and now Jersey and Philly. So now I'm here now.
Place to place.
His occupation allowed us to do that. So, but now I got my own family, so I ain't going nowhere.
There it is.
Congratulations to us. So you had a kid, your good wife had a kid.
Yeah.
A year ago. So what's going on musically?
Musically right now, I got a lot of things working. I'm working on my EP right now. I'm releasing a few singles with the producer of the Angie Martinez show, DJ Drewski. And I'm shooting videos for everything that's off the EP. And I'm also in the process, I'm writing a book at the same time.
All right.
What's up, man? We're talking about hip hop and white people on hip hop, and what do you think the state of hip hop is right now?
Being an artist and being creative at the same time, I won't say it's in help, but I will say it's in help because a lot of people is just doing it not for the love, it's for the money. You know what I mean? Because these record labels is throwing a lot of money at people that's just making bubblegum music. There's no passion behind the music anymore. It's just everything is just watered down and the same thing. Everybody's mimicking the same production.
Yeah,
the same
flow.
A
lot of copycats.
That's it. That's
it. A lot of people come with the same style and then they'll run with that for a while, for a couple seasons, and then another style will come.
Correct.
Everybody rapping on the same shit.
Like every production right now sounds like the Lex Luger track. I don't know if y'all know who Lex Luger is. It sound like the Lex Luger track. You know what I'm saying? Now everybody's talking about we need to bring that New York sound back. Question, what is a New York sound?
Right.
There ain't no New York sound. There's no sound. There's producers have their own sound.
Right.
So Timbaland have a sound. So would that be considered a Virginia sound? Neptunes have their sound. Would that be considered a Virginia sound?
Right.
No. You have other artists jumping on producers that have their unique sounds. So you can't say coast or city has their own sound because they don't.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, I can. This is the natural progression of hip hop to me for it to be where it is right now. Like anything else, if you look at rock and roll, you look at blues. It actually, everything grew to a point to where it was commercialized.
Correct.
And that's what hip hop it is. It is, right, it is pop now. So, and you know, I can remember there used to be a Philly sound, a New York sound, a L.A. sound. All of that's gone. It is, and it's not only producers, but the whole, like you ever heard of the Black Hippie movement, which is Kendrick Lamar, Schoolboy Q, all those dudes, they got a few producers that still hit that group, that type of hip-hop. Is hip hop is branched? Is
you but in could, a sense that's, you know, underground hip hop. You want to name it hippie, but it's underground.
It's, exactly, it's no a new twist, a new name, but
no
it's all
from Helter Skelter, Buckshot, those type of guys. It's the same, exactly. Same lane, but it's just a new name. It's we're in a new generation, so they are introducing that sound to the new generation. Yeah. Some of these kids don't even know the whole Wu-Tang. They only know Method Man, Raekwon, and Ghost. They don't even know who Master Killer is. They don't even know RZA is a Wu-Tang artist. They know he's an actor. It's not an actor.
Right.
Yeah. Y'all know Cowboy Troy? You know that guy? He corny, but he's trying to do country and hip-hop. Have you ever heard that? Yeah. He'd be good. He is hip-hop, man.
Built in.
He sings about chickens and stuff. It's ridiculous.
Cowboy Troy, is that the black dude with that?
With the cowboy hat, yeah.
Yeah, I know Cowboy Troy.
Yeah, he's awful. He's awful.
I don't know.
But he gets country people like kind of into hip hop though. It's kind
of
funny.
Hey, I could always listen to Hank Williams Jr. because of his lyrics.
Yeah,
it's from the heart. That's what hip hop is.
Should be. Well,
it's something from the heart.
Good country
music in general is something from the heart. That's my. Like for example, T.I. has a record on his albums called Hallelujah. And the hook is basically saying hallelujah. And she's saying words of Jesus. He's even saying biblical characters in the song. So would that consider gospel?
Right.
No.
I feel you.
It's music. He felt a certain way, and he's expressing his feelings. That's it.
Yeah.
Music is music, in my opinion. But it's divide and conquer. You put a name on top of it, and you...
Yeah, it's all marketing.
Yeah,
you got to know.
Channel stuff, it seemed like they just play fucking jingles. Like, it's like dog whistle music. They play a tune that everybody can get into. Even if you hate it, you like it. We're going to play this. And
they have a meter that's staying in that location that they want it to stay in, and ads is coming through. So once that meter goes down, ads go away. So let me play the music that's going to keep the meter there. That means the listeners is there, and ads is coming. It's all about the money.
Well, I'd heard that with some dance music. They were getting mathematicians involved to, like, actually analyze beats that will keep people, like, almost into it, you know, like those bad...
Because humans, I think we run off a tune or a certain tune.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're a certain frequency, and I think they, you know...
It's humans.
Look at a lot of those...
We know our ABC so quick.
Yeah, you put it in a song.
It's true.
It's true. And do you know...
You go over and say your ABCs, but not sing it.
And check this out.
You messed up.
Also, if you notice this, the ABC song and Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, the same song.
Oh,
Peep that. Plagiarism. That's the original.
I didn't even know that. You see,
and 2 Chainz uses a birthday song.
That artist, Future. Artist Future, he got the song with his Lil Wayne song, but he's on the hook with Drake. That's the Twinkle Twinkle Little Star rhythm. If you pay attention to the hook, that's what it is.
Let me ask you, if you think about this, because a lot of the music out there now is about making money and getting paper and 2 Chainz and all. You think subliminally, since the economy's fucked up, niggas is broke, that this music is more like a motivating? They put this music out just to motivate us. You know what I mean?
No.
You don't feel that? Just to motivate people that are broke. It's just like the me and my brother gonna pick a bell of cotton song. You know, why would you sing that? Because you picking cotton. It's to kick the kid. Yeah, you know, selling the dream. It's like, yeah, you ain't broke, but you broke, but you hear a nigga singing about getting money.
Different.
So your spirit is lifted
different.
A little bit.
You don't think that? Nah, that's just the way he wants to rap, and he know that's gonna put money in his pocket. That ain't nothing motivating other people, because it's some motherfuckers that's listening to that like, I can't wait till I see you, because I'm going to get you. Because he needs that money. So he's talking about you got all this money. He wants some of that.
The problem I have with some hip-hop is I feel like a lot of it is artists attacking artists. Like, it seems like that's a lot of the lyrics.
Yeah.
It's people just coming at each other. I'm better than you. I'm better than you, and I'm going to get more than you got. And I feel a lot of that.
See,
I don't know.
That's the foundation of hip-hop, though. It's just battling. But when you start to actually incorporate your personal situations in the music, because we don't hear that in rock and roll, I think.
No, not really. Occasionally, you'll hear it.
We don't hear that in country. You don't see...
Sometimes,
but you know. You don't see a Taylor Swift beefing with such and such.
Every dude. Somebody.
Yeah.
Every boyfriend. Every guy she's ever... Yeah, that's...
But that's a personal experience. I'm talking about artists.
But like Lynyrd Skynyrd, they did a song, and basically it was against Neil Young, talking about, you know, Sweet Home Alabama. You know, basically it was... Because Neil Young was saying how racist Alabama was, and his thing, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd was basically standing up for Alabama. We're not all like this. Basically, is what
Sweet Home... They threw a few bitch-ass niggas in there?
Yeah.
That's what make it real beef.
Yeah. And they're not premeditating starting beef to sell records.
Yeah.
Because in the hip hop world, they actually start beef to sell records. That's the whole foundation of what they want to do. But
it's part of the
word.
I wonder, that's something I've never seen, is 2 artists say, listen, man. And I'm sure, and I wonder if it's actually happened
like
this.
They sit down and
they
say,
sit down and
this.
Plan it out. Like, listen, I'm going to hit you. I'm going to talk about your mom. I'm going to talk about your woman. And then you come back. You think that?
I think so. Like, right now, you got
PR.
Right now, you got Justin Timberlake getting that Kanye.
Yeah, on SNL.
Yeah. Kanye said it first, though. Kanye said he don't give a fuck about that suit and tie record. He said he got respect for Jay-Z, but he don't give a fuck about that suit and tie record. Like, okay. We know Kanye, he's outspoken. He goes in. But like, come on.
How many tracks did he produce on there?
Right? on a new album that's coming out. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Like, come on.
No, I got the surefire method to sell this.
Yeah.
Follow my lead, bitch.
I have a little problem with a lot of the overuse of sampling, I think, in hip-hop. I think, you know, to take another song, they sample it and take it over. I don't know. I like hip-hop that doesn't...
That's the foundation, though.
You know.
That's the foundation.
And let me tell you, and I'll speak...
I don't think it has to be that.
Like me, my name is Freeze Love because I've never changed. I've never, ever wanted to change my affiliation with hip-hop. It's been Freeze Love since 1982. I'm going to tell you. Now you see it. Let me tell you. Sampling is a big part of hip-hop.
Yeah.
But...
That's the core.
The whole deal was to sample to the point that you could not
tell.
You could not tell.
Yeah, be creative.
You want to be creative with it. Not just throw up a James Brown loop and I got a hit.
Yeah.
You got the same hit that James Brown had.
I also respect this part of sampling because there's some guys that's probably broke living in somewhere and somebody would sample their records and now... Money's coming.
Yo, a good situation I know personally. Jay King with Club Nouveau, Lean On Me. I remember when the guys from the Bay, I got five on
okay,
it.
Okay,
when they did that, that really
helped
him out. I mean, majorly.
Because he was probably somewhere.
So it's kind of like we, you know, don't sample but recycle.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you recycle, it's change. You gotta change it. You but, just lean on it.
Yeah, thing. But sometimes I would like more people to pick up an instrument. You know, like Living Color is one of my favorite bands. You know, like. Four black dudes with guitars, and like I feel like sometimes, you know, young artists don't really, they have a tendency to just go into hip hop sampling music as opposed to maybe picking up an instrument and creating their own sound as opposed to sampling over somebody else's.
Yeah, and I mean,
I'd like to see more of that.
Like for instance, the Roots. That's a
real band, man.
Right, and it's like
it's a real band.
A lot of instruments is an old school thing now. Anyway, we were coming up. You
shouldn't
had
be.
To play an instrument in school, but now they're cutting a lot of that shit out of schools. You know, your mother ain't buying you a trumpet no more.
They should.
And the trombone, niggas don't want that.
Learn an instrument to make you smarter, man. Learn how to read music that
beats.
All of that.
Yeah.
Expand your mind, man.
It's kids parenting kids. So they wasn't taught it, so it's getting lost in translation.
Yeah.
That's real.
Can y'all hear him from back there? Because he ain't got a mic. But. Cool. Any of you play instruments?
I play the keys. I'm learning the guitar. Who's teaching me?
Nice. There you go.
Oh, YouTube, yeah.
Man, see that? Back to what we were saying earlier. It's so cool, man.
I don't know who the teacher is. That's who he is.
Man, YouTube. How to build a rocket.
Go to YouTube.
Yeah, but nowadays, sounds is more synthesized. You know what I'm saying? Synthesized has been out for a long time. So
yeah.
It's just more popular now because we in a digital world.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get anything out of a keyboard, right?
And it makes it... Some programs make it real easy because you could press one key and you'd be playing all types of notes. So
yeah.
It's like the old school guys feel some kind of way towards the young crew because you're not really playing anything. You don't even know these notes. You press one key and it plays out a whole pattern.
Yeah. Didn't Lil Wayne try to play guitar? He tried to do some of that, right? Try to add a rock sound to his...
All he has to do is hook it to auto-tunes and he could play guitar.
But that's really cheating, man. It's cheating.
Anyways, you know.
That's what I've been doing right now. Some of my music I work on my EP. I have a group that's in Florida. They play bands. I have a song that's called Live. That's like live instruments. I actually produced the record. I send it over to them and they played everything over. So that's the sound that I'm trying to go for. Some similar to some songs Rick Ross had when he's collaborating with Justin Lees as a producer. The guy plays the keys. He's tight with it. Those sounds is wicked to me.
So when they say bands that make you dance, they ain't talking about instruments.
Not talking about instruments. But you know, again, that's really up to the response. I think that's is just as much responsibility to the artist to go back. Listen, man, yeah, it is easy. You can press one button and get a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But give yourself the chance to work with a real musician. Go out and meet a real musician. Put it to that. See what you can get with a real guitar player.
Definitely.
A real piano player. Be responsible.
It gives you a better sound at that. See what I'm saying? The whole purpose is to have a sound.
Yeah.
And look for that sound. Even if you got a bang or pop, get
a
sound.
That's real. That is real.
There's a lull.
What's the book about?
The book is basically based on me. A lot of people that's in the world of entrepreneurship could relate. It's based on...
So it's a business book?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
It's life. Basically, the struggle of trying to get to your peak in your career.
Mm.
For example, me being an artist, right? You might see me on TV. You might see my billboard somewhere. You might see me perform on stage with somebody, and I'm next to somebody big.
Mm.
Then next week, you see me at Walmart.
Hmm.
They look at me like, what the heck happened?
Yeah, I don't want to see. That's depressing.
This is the process.
Yeah, nothing happened.
None of us want to ever be in Walmart.
Word. You had the perception on me because you see me on television, on radio, whatever you see me at. I'm like, wow, he's
huge,
all this money.
And
that's me too. That's what I'm trying to be. I'm trying to make that my 9 to 5.
Hmm.
But
that's not bringing enough currency. So therefore,
yeah,
I have to punch in this clock with this guy. Not saying that's what I do, but just in general. See what I'm saying?
Hey, I gotta
punch out my that's the lie of show business anyway. Most of the stuff is just
exactly.
So how people perceive you.
Exactly, because I know a lot of guys that people know and have no idea about their struggle. Like, I know their struggle, but you don't know their struggle. You see them every day like, this is the man, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he's the man in your eyes.
That nigga getting it.
And he ain't getting nothing.
And then he's and then he's working, like, the child clothing department at Walmart.
He's probably a bartender somewhere. Yeah. He's getting money other ways, because this is not bring. Because a lot of artists, they talk about they're getting all this money. Bro, you're not getting money. If your record's not getting played or being sold, you're not making the money. This is a commission-based.
So the book is like, you poor, get used to it.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's commission-based. If you're not selling, you're not making no money.
That's true.
If your music ain't playing on any public station, no ASCAP BMIs, you're not getting no royalties check. So how are you really getting money?
Yeah. Hmm.
You ain't getting money.
That's a worldwide dude.
World. Yeah. International.
Norway.
So, yo, we gonna take a break on that note, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Hip Hop Radio.
I'm working out. Ain't gonna run off. Don't talk about that, because I'm a good working nigga.
Who could be a black piano player in a brothel in the United States of America? Who could have a care? Black pimps, prostitutes, and alcoholics.
Man's only this world.
Dying whiskey or syphilis before he's 40.
And none of the money comes to these places. They just can tip you $5 bills, a dollar, they're in the mood. Music was good.
Your girl look broke, yeah. And you look broken. So what that say about your relationship? This money over here too much to hold. Feel like it's gonna sink my ship. So therefore, dudes in my cipher to get two scoops thinking it's gonna raise their brain. Not knowing I got dudes that's ready to shoot original OGs like Uncle Sam. Damn, swag like this is most girls only wish. Dudes popping that rolls just to take a piss.
Come on.
Girls riding the flow cause it's hard like yeah. Shit, what you expect? I'm a G, check your bitch. Put in her place,
that's right.
She want that digital love in my space.
My space.
I get them climaxes to the highest rate. You can't expect nothing more. It's Nero. All I do is make hits. Come on,
homie, can't you see that you can't get it with me? I have you with the out, just safe. Your girl wanna swag like mine. Something you can't define, homie. Don't have it this straight. I gotta sing it. Keep her singing. I got a thing for you, shorty. The way she puts it down keeps me quite naughty. That's right, she got a thing for group love. So I call up Nicki Minaj live in the party. She with me, she show me everything her mama taught her. Somehow Green and Marvin Gaye always get her in order. But you don't do those, I'm the type that'll spoil her. Adore her, why you sell her stories like borders? Sorry for your loss, it's the consolation. I'm a white girl's dream and a black man inspiration. You commercial, I'm private flying the constellation. The world of the stars, places like Mars and the sun. This flow's got me on the run. Away from the charge, the heat forms a mirage. It won't be gone cause my words forms a collage. But somehow I still find myself behind these bars.
Come on,
homie, can't you see that you can't get with me? I have you at the out, just safe. Your girl wanna swag like mine. Something you can't define, homie. Don't have it this straight. I gotta sing it. I keep a singing. Homie, can't you see that you can't get with me? I have you with the out, just safe. Your girl wanna swag like mine. Something you can't define, homie. You don't have it this straight. I gotta sing it. I keep a singing.
All right, welcome back to Hip Hop Radio. We are live back on air. We having some heated conversation here as the music play. That was what was the name of that song, Nero? That was your music play.
This release is called Ain't Like Me.
Ain't Like Me? All right. And you from Liberia, families from, were you born and raised here?
Yeah, I was born in West Africa, Liberia. I was raised in Brooklyn.
You just talk about Africa. Dustin said there ain't much there. Is there? There's a lot of industry there.
I've been to Djibouti. You know where that is? Djibouti, Africa?
No, I don't.
It's near Somalia. It's like a.
Okay, so that means that's.
You been there, Dustin?
Yeah.
That's the
fuck you doing in Africa?
It's for the troops. It's entertaining the troops.
Oh, okay.
That's up north. I'm on the west side of Africa.
Okay.
Get my
iPhone parts from.
Oh, they make iPhone.
No, Apple. They don't make them there. That's where they mine everything at.
Oh, for that little thing that they need.
Yeah.
Basically, rape the people over there. Of course. Rape the people over here. Because either way, you're getting raped.
Yeah, a lot of rape.
We get raped in air conditioning. That's a good
point. Not in this studio.
Absolutely. So is that the deal with Liberia? That's what I'm saying. African nations, people, the like corporations go in and you know, offer them goods and services and jobs just so they could get their natural resources. You found that to be true, being from Liberia firsthand. What's the word on the streets?
Of course it's true. We all know that. You know what I mean? They, not even just Africa. It's the third world countries in general that some nations will go over there because it's cheap labor. You know, when you call your technical, your phone for technical support, you got Alibaba and the 40 Thieves on the phone. Nah. You can't understand the lick of English, what they're saying. See what I'm saying? But Liberia, we was in the 18th Civil War. 18 years of civil war, so it just stopped 6 years ago. So we was going through crazy situations.
Don't they have the American flag as part of their flag?
Yeah, the American flag was also created by Betsy Ross, who created America's flag. Our national anthem sounds similar to y'all's as well.
Yeah, sing it.
Does it have more of a beat to it?
I don't even know.
You got more drums?
Yeah, but it's similar to America's.
Michael Jackson was singing about Liberian girls.
I don't think he know a lick about no Liberian girl.
Liberian boys, maybe.
Yeah, but it was a struggle over there. Crazy, you know what I mean? Right now, we got a new president, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. She's the first female president in the whole Africa. And there's a lot of entrepreneurs, rich folks who have donated a lot of currency over there to rebuild the country. It's growing strongly, and it's slow process, of course, because Obama ain't really do nothing for America through the 4 years, or 8 years, I would say, that Bush ran down the country. So imagine 18 years. So she has a lot of work to do.
And she's a Harvard-trained economist.
Yeah. She's also my aunt.
Really?
Ellen's your aunt?
Yeah.
What do you, Auntie Ellen?
Yep.
Oh my God!
Google me, KNERO.
I'm looking at it right now. This is
Google me.
You Google you?
Yeah, KNERO.
Liberia's got a better Google.
Okay. Like, my man is connected. Do you go back there at all?
Yeah, right now we're trying to work on that for this this year. My father, my parents, they all here, but they going back for good.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, to live?
Yeah, to live.
They got my full education of Liberia from the Vice Guy. Any of y'all ever see that documentary?
No. Vice Guy?
Yeah, hey. Y'all need to see that. With yeah, General Butt Naked.
It was a guy. His name is General Butt Naked. He was.
It was crazy. Like, dude, he's a minister now, so they're not going to send him to jail or anything like that. But he used, him and all his child soldiers used to run through towns naked, raping and killing everybody. Having sex with all the women, giving them all AIDS, and then going on to the next town.
Oh, damn. He was on that
Pony
shit.
That was the price. That was
Pony was one of the dudes. It was Rambo 2.
Yeah, that's rebels that was in the Civil War at the time that was going doing all types of wickedness. And he's just the one that was public. So imagine the ones that wasn't public.
Right.
Craziness.
People would smoke gunpowder with weed and say it makes them stronger. Eat your hearts and say it gives them power.
Oh, word?
Wow. Yeah. Things in that nature.
Yeah, you don't smoke, do you?
I don't smoke at all.
At all? Ever?
Huh? Of course. Come on, Kyle.
Hey, I don't know.
Bro, we used to pass blunts.
you gave it up?
Gave it up.
Me too, man. That's good. Yeah. I like to hear that. I like to hear that.
Yeah.
I think it's a time in your life. It's all right. And then you get focused and you do everything.
It wasn't when I turned 40.
There you go.
That's my plan.
40 fighting in the cage?
There was
damn.
A moment.
Okay. All right. I was going to say, damn.
There was a moment that made me stop. But that individual is probably listening right now.
What was that moment?
That moment was that moment.
Yeah, Kyle. He don't want to bring it up, man. Just the moment.
I'd say the moment. I was coming from a hard day of working.
Walmart.
Nah.
Oh, no.
Barbershop.
Oh, okay.
I called up my boy, my little man. He was about 4 years old at the time. And he used to always see the glossiness in my eyes, and he used to always question. I was like, I'm tired. So this time I'm on the phone talking to my little man. He's like, how you doing, daddy? I'm like, I'm good. He goes, why you sound like that? You tired? Is your eyes red?
Oh.
Cut.
No
more. You couldn't handle your eyes.
I wasn't even that at the moment. See what I'm saying? So that rung the bell to me. I'm just like, you know what? I just ease off. Especially it was a lot of money being spent in a month. Could have paid somebody mortgage on just that. So I'm like,
well, I have notes. A lot of people do smoke in front of their kids.
I was never that individual.
I never did.
Yeah. My friend, he said he grew up with his father smoking weed while he was sitting on the couch, and he'd be then, you know, my
friend. Some people, it's just like alcohol. Like, to some people, I don't.
It's like a fine wine.
Yeah.
Like,
we bought my mom a pipe for Mother's Day, man.
Rip Mother's Day?
Yeah, we bought her a pipe, a little red pipe for Mother's Day to smoke her weed in it.
It's like smoking a hookah or something.
I mean, it is, and right now, exactly like smoking a hookah in Colorado and Washington, the two fine states.
Beautiful
states.
Great land.
Great states.
Are you the most famous Liberian? States. Like, who's the most well-known Liberian?
We have a soccer player. Yeah, we got, what's his name?
Music wise, you might be.
Music wise, I could put myself in there.
Yeah.
I shout out to my boy Jody. He's he's a singer. But when it comes to hip hop artists, I'm that guy.
Yeah.
Do you go to London a lot, or have you?
No. I'm actually branding my brand.
Gotcha.
And I'm establishing that. I've been doing it for some time, but properly, no. See what I'm saying? Now I'm getting affected, getting finance behind me, and I'm PR work and all that. So I'm actually taking off.
Well, cool. I know that's one thing.
And
that
the beautifulest thing is I'm connected with some PRs that's overseas in Africa, because our currency, their currency is different. So when they tell me 40 grand for some work,
like 10 cents?
Nah, it's like 100 and something dollars. So it's like,
oh, really?
Exactly. So I'm getting the same type of
40 grand Liberian,
work. Now, I mean, not Liberian, but in Naira, that's Nigeria. I mean, Ghana, because American money is equivalent, the same equivalents in Liberia because of the colonies.
Exchange rate.
As America.
Look like y'all got a lot of famous footballers, soccer players.
Yeah, that's mainly.
You play soccer?
No, I never kicked the ball in my life.
In the United States, you gotta have a jump shot. Over there, you gotta have a good
bicycle kick or something.
I can't do soccer, man. They almost score every time. I can't take it. It's like, come on, man. I'm an American. I gotta see some touchdowns or something.
I like the World Cup. That's the only time I can get into it. Like when I see countries going against each other.
Yeah.
That gets exciting to me.
It gets exciting for a little while.
A lot of Indians in Liberia?
Yes. Lebanese and all that.
Oh, word?
Yeah. Chinese also.
Chinese everywhere, man.
Yeah. Indians a good mix of chick.
China is actually trying to take over Liberia.
Oh, yeah, like crazy.
Why?
China's getting
because of the resources that we have. We have the natural resource of rubber, and Coca-Cola headquarters over there. The biggest, we produce the biggest rubber in the whole world.
Like Magnums,
those type of rubber. Like Firestone,
Trojan Empire,
Firestone headquarters for the tires. They also over there, so that's where they get majority of the rubber. And the ships that set sea get registered in Liberia. They like the DMV for ships in the ocean.
Oh, because it's like the entrance way.
Correct.
And that's everything in your phone is coming out of mine in Africa.
All this.
Everything.
Can they fix the drop call problem I've been having? Do they have an African drop call mine?
You got called for that.
Okay. They don't have a mine there that makes calls that stay up?
This is the real deal runaround now. A global runaround.
Yeah. You go to India. No, go to Liberia. You just going back and forth.
And it's made in China.
And it's made in China.
What's the name of that mineral that they put in the phones? Do you know?
I can't think of it offhand.
Oh, I'll Google it.
Kyle just Googles everything.
Let me Siri it.
All right, I think we got to wrap up soon. Yeah. Jared, you want to plug anything, man? Any shows, websites?
Is it Coltan or?
That's one of them.
Tantanlin? Some shit. Coltan. Ah, yeah.
All right, Jared, you want to plug something?
Do we get that?
Yeah.
You find me on Twitter, JTrain56. Do a new column and video every Thursday.
For
Bro Bible, and we started this.
BroBible.com.
BroBible.com. Every Thursday, I do a column for them. And then we started these new videos. Next week, we're going to have Frat Dude at St. Patrick's Day. So that'll be fun. Very cool. On Twitter, JTrain56.
All right.
And hit me up at Freeze Love Comedy, FreezLuv Comedy on Twitter, and also at Killer Whales, KillaWhaleZ for Eco Hop, the new music.
Nice. You got any shows or anything coming up?
Yes, I'm going to be at Greenwich Village Comedy Club this Wednesday. And also I'm going to be in Chicago with Charlie Murphy and Acid Trip Tour this entire weekend in Schaumburg at the Schaumburg Improv. So check us out, please.
Very cool. Dustin Chafin, I'll be at Levity Live next Thursday. And also catch me at Greenwich Village Comedy Club. You can check out our podcast here at hiphopradio.com. Kyle, what do you got?
This week I'm in at Nut Street Comedy Club in Wilmington, North Carolina, from Thursday, Friday, two shows Saturday, and Wednesday I'm going to be at Springfield, Massachusetts at the freaking University of Springfield College, Massachusetts. That's what I'll be. And make sure y'all hit us up here at hiphopradio@gmail.com for all your questions and comments and anything you want to say. Nero, what's up?
And you can catch my singles that I'm releasing on the 3rd of every month online with Hot 97 DJ Drewski. Stay tuned for my EP that's dropping. It's called The Moments of Luxury. Also, the book is titled after the EP, The Moments of Luxury. Follow me on Twitter, KMILLI, that's K Billy. Like me on Facebook, Facebook.com/ILikeNero. Also, I forgot to tell y'all, I have an online magazine. It's called Get With It Magazine. You get your latest blogs, news, stories about everything that's going on in the commercial world. Google it. Get With It Magazine.
All right. I'd like to thank all of our guests. Thanks, Adam Lucidi, our engineer, and Freeze Love.
Yeah, thank you guys for having us, man. Good to see you guys.
Another episode of Hip Hop Radio.
Yeehaw, Sean.
Like our Facebook page.
I need a Twitter.
Yeah, we got a Twitter. We just need somebody to tweet that.
Hip Hop Radio.
Hip Hop Radio.
Yeah.
Son.
Shun.
Yeah.
We already have it.
Son. Yeehaw, son.
Shun. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeehaw, son.
So you're...
What?